ETH continuation. Now, okay, again, I speak to the Swedes, to us, to you out there. You know, another quality that, again, I don't know if it is. Well, it seems, I think it is, kind of. At least a good thing that I saw and understood in Swedes, and it is also my experience, but of course people from other countries too, it is that, let's be honest, you know, let's just be straightforward about it, let's do things properly. Don't be greedy and accept or say something false, just pretend, you know, this artificial or sly, you know, that kind of thing, just to get what you want. But just be honest about it, just be fair and be, you know, not selfish, I mean mine. Isn't it, we can understand that. I think everyone hears this can understand it. But I'm speaking to a Swede since I'm one. No, we often flatter ourselves for being conscious of the world and being good, you know, and all that, and we think we know better, and we are, I mean, kind of puffed up. But you know what we pride ourselves for, except snooze and these things. Some of them are good. So let's get ourselves together. Let's get honest. Let's use our common sense, sunt bondförnuft, and that goes a long way. I mean, for instance, I mean, we have now a lot of forests in Sweden, okay? My cousin has my grandfather's forest, and I mean, I grew up in forest environments. And you have a forest to make money on it, okay? You can Christmas trees there, or you can grow this and that. Normally, you grow some trees that give you wood for building, that you can sell and make money from. Now, it used to be they did that with a horse, some kind of wagon, and a few men with hand saws. And that's how it was done up to like maybe even middle of 20th century, or at least somewhere there in the beginning. No, actually, I think it's quite late that they started using motor saws and bigger machines. But now we have super duper machines, which we call advancement, because now we can take down an entire forest in no time. Which of course then raises other problems, because then people tend to, you know, the little greed tends to pop up there. It used to be regulated by our capacity, but also there was some wisdom there. There were experts that told, okay, take that tree, that tree, that tree. But still the forest stood there. You just gather or whatever you call it. So it was sustainable. And it looked much better than when they just cut down entire huge fields of forest. So anyway, whether we have this advanced technology or not, and whether we have fuel for it or not, there are ways to do it, and the ways that people did it in the past. There are still horses, I hope. These big, strong ones, and oxen, I know there are. I know a few of them, some of them. That can be trained if treated nicely and personally and with care and, you know, respect, to work instead of big expensive machines that break and need this and that, fuel and oil and so on, parts. It's simpler life. But even if you have those super-duper machines, it's nothing wrong with that. You can use them, but then what counts and what I'm talking about here and why I'm saying this is that it's about the wisdom, the common sense, the good, you know, that's what I mean, the honest, obvious, you know, Bundvernunft. I don't take more in this from nature. I treat nature properly. I shouldn't be greedy. And you know, all this that we used to hear when we were kids. And I don't know how it is today, but it looks like this greed and all of that is... But maybe people, those people are... I mean, you can follow that path and maybe they are just desperate. It's their only source of income, and you don't get much when you sell a board of wood, you know, and you gotta live. So yeah, but I think that's also because people need this thing called money. Why? Not just, you know, okay, buying food and this and that, and the food is getting expensive. But in the old days, you had your wood, and another one had that kind of food, and the other one the other kind of food. And you just traded. And when you do it that way, you will notice that your wood is quite valuable. And if you will continue like that, building up your living from what you really need, food and home and clothes and so on, and shoes. And if you can learn to produce those locally, which people did in the past, it's not so mysteriously tricky, impossible. It's just that we've forgotten, many of us, how. And I know this because my family, we made clothes from wool and linen and cotton. That was then imported, but the other things, everything locally produced. Same with buildings, houses, food. And I think that for us now, and I'm talking about this country where I'm sitting, and I think I'm talking for every country in Europe, I think that would be a very good thing to revive and to build up, at least as a plan B. But, and I think maybe that's what we're getting forced into, but I think then what we might realize then, and what may be why we're forced into, because sometimes if you're not smart enough, you have to be forced into something, the good thing, the right thing. And we'll see that, hey, come on, people in the past, they weren't that stupid, things weren't that bad. Life was actually good. And I know, because my parents, and especially grandparents, they lived that life, and I saw it. We were out, my relatives lived on the countryside. Well, they lived much like that. They still had horses to plow with. There still were people walking in working in the fields the good old way. And most people lived in the countryside. But then, during my youth, and it had started before I was born, flykten from landsbygd and the escape from the rural areas. People, I don't think they were fleeing from anything, they were just tempted, allured. By the glitter of the big cities. And yes, I know that too, because I was one of those who moved to the biggest city, Stockholm, when I was 18. But not to get the gold and the, well, a little bit. Cool things and the nice girls and you know this and that. It's more available there. And the fun and the outdoor life. And that's what draws people to the city, isn't it? The bars and the restaurants and the pubs and the dance places and the all the beautiful people and the beautiful clothes and the shops and the work opportunities. You can work in that business office room. Because here we're smart, we make money, we're not people working in the industry, out in the forest. But you know, what they are dealing with in their papers is what is being produced there in the forest or in the mines or in the fields. Business people sitting there in the city being fine and rich, thinking themselves superior to the simple countryside people. But then, you know, they turn their business elsewhere to where you can buy the products cheaper, and they became even more rich and even more puffed up, and then they started dealing with shares on the stock market and advanced financial instruments and became even more superior and richer and oh, fantastic. And their clothes became more and more expensive and fancy and oh, and then poof. Can't buy those things anymore. Import regulations, this or that, tariffs. Or maybe the people in those countries are fed up selling to you, to these Western colonialists. And they sell to each other instead. It's closer, better. Or go self-sufficient. And then those super-duper rich, they're standing in the street corners begging. And the guy with the forest. Or the family with the trouser company. They go on as usual. Exchanging their tree for food and clothes. And life goes on. A little bit more normal again. That may be good and healthy. So I just pray that we humans here on this little planet can now adapt to the changes that are inevitably around the corner. That's what I think, at least. And may God bless us all.